Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Josh Brown, is this the wind-up or is this the main podcast? I don't know, but I've got you in front of me, which is only, it can be a good thing.
I think recording this on a Tuesday, we're in the liminal space. This is the crossover everyone's been waiting for. This is like both shows in one.
Yes, Mr. James Dowse is on holiday next week, so we're going to try and pre-record something with him this week to schedule for next week. But the man's got so many different things that he needs to schedule and get on top of work-wise. So we were like, look, we'll take the baton of podding, and me and you will do a lovely little podcast. And we missed the wind-up because it was a bank holiday in the UK, so we were off yesterday anyway. And so we thought, well, Last of Us Part 1, the remake of The Last of Us, is coming out this week anyway, and the embargo will be up by the time this goes live. Hopefully I've timed this right, if you're listening to this, and the SWAT teams haven't kicked in, then we've managed to time it all right. But this is pretty much what we would have talked about anyway. We would have either covered this on the wind-up, or we would have covered this on the main podcast, so we're just kind of combining it. So Josh, you're the lead reviewer. The video will be live by the time this goes up. I think you went with a nice, healthy 4 stars.
I did. It's the strangest game I have ever reviewed, Scott Telford, because obviously, you know, you need to look at it as a kind of piece of work in isolation, as a remake in isolation, and then add on the context in which it's coming out, you know, only 8 years or whatever, or 9 years after The Last of Us originally hit the PS3, you know, 8 years after the remaster came out, and of course, its price point of $70. So it was a strange one to kind of wrap my head around, but yeah, I ultimately went as a remake. I think it's a 4-star kind of effort, and as a game, it's The Last of Us, which is of course 5 stars across the board. So it's we're going to kind of try to pass this out, I guess.
It is the weird thing to like try and nail down, because we were saying in one of the chats before you were recording, it's like it's a 5-star game through and through. Everyone knows that. We've known that for like 9 years or whatever it is, almost 10 years. But then it's like, okay, what are the qualities of the remake? And obviously, I would say that Sony have been quite guarded with their gameplay stuff. There's a gameplay clip just gone live as we're recording this, which is obviously the week of release, and maybe they were holding that back the most. But a lot of the stuff in the marketing is like, you know, it's a gameplay experience. It's been overhauled. It's been rebuilt from the ground up and all that kind of stuff. And I managed to get a code for this as well. Like I said, you're doing the review, but I've been playing through bits of it as well. That's the whole thing. I don't think it's worth the £70. I think I'm going to be more negative on it than you.
Yeah.
But I just think that I see Sony in a very weird place right now. And I see, I mean, the only, it would have been 2 days ago that this goes live, that they've just bought a mobile game studio as their next acquisition. I see a lot of money-focused moves, and I kind of can't see this as being worth £70, next to so many of the titles that are like full price. So for me, I don't think they did enough to it. But I don't know if you line up with that whatsoever.
I agree, again, in classic wind-up fashion, which this might not even be, I agree and disagree. You know, I said in my review, which I will stand by now, that if you have not played The Last of Us at all, for whatever reason, this is the version you should play, and it's absolutely worth $70 in that regard. I do think the effort that's being put into the game is indicative of a kind of fully-fledged new release. Like, I do think they've put a lot of work in from both the visuals and the gameplay, the AI, all of that stuff to kind of justify that $70 price point if you're buying it new. However, as a game that recently got a PS4 Pro patch in like 5 years ago, whatever, 4 years ago. And if you're someone who has played this game over and over again, like I have, like it's a great, great remake, but you probably don't need to spend $70 on it right now. It'll still be a great remake in a few months' time when that price drops. Like if it's entirely kind of up to what you want out of this game, I think. Like if you want it to be brand new, you're not going to get that. If you want it to be completely changed in terms of its combat, in terms of its exploration, you're going to be disappointed. However, if you are looking at the trailers, if you're looking at the gameplay and thinking this is what I wanted, I would encourage you to indulge, because the work is good. It's just, you know, within this context of what a remake kind of should be, and everyone has a different opinion on that in a way.
Well, that's the thing, because I was like, it's almost like a £70 like texture pack. But then obviously they've been out there saying, well, look, we've rebuilt the combat and it's more sort of like modernized and whatever else. And they try to bring it more in line with Last of Us 2. I wish they added like a dodge. Like, I think that's one of the things that, because I've been going back and forth between Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2, just to sort of get a feel for how much has been changed and everything. And like one of the things that I love about Last of Us 2's combat is that you can just dodge out the way of stuff. You can just like hair's breadth, you can just get out the way of something and then you retaliate. And like, I think Last of Us Part 2 has more flow to it. Like, I love how scrappy Last of Us combat is overall. But I tell you what's hilarious. I didn't realize that Last of Us 1 had the parry in it until like the other week. Like, I just didn't use that at all. And I've been through Last of Us 1 like 3 times or whatever it is. And I just never realized that like they spell out like, yeah, the dude can hit you at the very beginning. And you can also hit triangle at the right time to push a guy back off and you can kind of retaliate. For whatever reason, I didn't bank that in my 2013 mind and then just didn't think about tutorial stuff after that. So the last 9 years I've been living a lie. But I kind of wish that they brought in the Last of Us Part 2 parry system in a little bit more. How do you think it compares to Last of Us Part 2's combat? Do you think that whole thing of, you know, we've modernized it, we're rebuilding it from the ground up in that regard, does that kind of hold water the whole way through?
I do think so. You know, there are omissions like you mentioned there. I would have absolutely loved a kind of like actual dodge button like you get in The Last of Us Part 2. I would have even liked to have gone prone, even though that would have necessitated kind of rebuilding the combat encounters. However, I do think they mostly nailed the feel of the combat from The Last of Us Part 2. When I played that game through initially, I went back to The Last of Us Remastered and did them back to back. And I thought they would be more similar than I remembered them being. But The Last of Us Remastered for me just felt so clunky in comparison. And I do think this remake kind of brings the combat, or at least the flow of combat, up close to The Last of Us Part 2. It's not quite there, but it is, for me, like much better than the remastered combat, which was always good. But this just kind of has more to it. Yes, the mechanics might not be different, but the way everything flows, man, the new animations for me gives it the level of impact that The Last of Us Part 2 had. I'm not sure if you agree on that.
Well, I think it's really interesting, because at some point we have to get so granular with this just because of the way this, the sheer reality of them remaking a game twice, or like putting it out twice within 10 years, that you kind of have to be like, okay, let me literally compare side-by-side animations, transition animations between how fast Joel stands up or how fast he goes between a melee attack to aiming to running again or whatever. But that also does constitute a different feel for the game. And like, this does like move in a way that the original Last of Us and Remastered just doesn't. So there is like there is a quality to that. But I'm so curious how it's going to do in the sales. Like, there's so many conversations around like, I'm going to wait until it's on sale. I'm going to wait and see if it's on PlayStation Plus or whatever. And I just like, it's that whole thing of like you said, if you're coming in fresh, then you will just immediately go, this feels great, I can just kind of get on with this. But then if you're an old fan coming back in who maybe just wants to pick it up for completionist's sake, then it's interesting because it's like, where is my money going? It's kind of going into this transition animation. And like, that does feel good, but I don't know if it's that good.
You mentioned the word granular there, which I think is like the key word for this entire project. I use that and subtle a lot in my review, because the changes are very subtle, and cumulatively, I do think it impacts the combat in a really great way. Like, it does improve the combat. But it's hard to sell that to someone who has already played through this title, because the improvements are so granular. For me, it does bring it up to modern standards. You know, it's funny, I was playing through The Last of Us Remastered at the same time I was playing the new Saints Row. And it's just like, The Last of Us Remastered is so head and shoulders above that game in every single direction. And
I don't know what they were doing.
100%. And you can put The Last of Us Part 1 up against any modern game, I would argue. And it doesn't feel stated. There are a few box puzzles, which we'll get to.
I was going
to
say gameplay.
That are a little bit archaic now. But for the most part, like the combat, it is thrilling. And I think these changes have added enough to just kind of get it up to that next level, man. Mm. But whether or not that's worth $70, again, that kind of is the big question, because look at them side by side and, you know, there's not new mechanics. It's just that the feel has been improved. And I do think that if this game came out in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, mm-hmm. with these improvements and more, then we wouldn't be kind of like talking about it in the same way that we are. Or even if the price was, you know, $50 or $40, it would be so much more recommendable. It's just kind of a victim of timing and a victim of the price, because otherwise, I think these granular changes do work really well.
Yeah, they totally do. I just keep going back to, I wish they just put it on the PlayStation Premium service. I wish they were just like, here's what you get. If you're a valued PlayStation member, we'll give you this version of The Last of Us, which is why I keep coming back to Sony's kind of hubris and greed that they've had in the past, like surfacing again, where they're just like, let's just see if we can charge £70 for this. Like, people love Naughty Dog. A lot of people love The Last of Us. A lot of people want something to show up on their PS5. Let's just see if this works. And if we didn't get review codes, I wouldn't be buying this. Like, I would not have touched this. So I'm curious just how that goes down. I saw people sharing the fact that it's number one selling in the UK on Amazon in terms of the pre-order. So it seems like there is a lot of interest in it, obviously, but I'm curious about that. Do you think that it ticks the box of this shows off what the PS5 can do? Because I do think that a lot of, and especially in the early going, when you're right at the beginning and you're escaping the city for the first time, we won't do big spoilers because I guess a lot of people might be coming in for the first time, but the first time you're escaping the city, it's a lot of rain-swept locations. It's a lot of atmospheric stuff, environmental stuff, which looks incredible. Yeah. And obviously you can go into the photo mode and really drink that stuff in, but it was the lighting, and it was a lot of like light refracting through water that was making me go, oh, okay, that looks incredible. But at the same time, I wonder, you know, it's one of those things where we haven't seen what Naughty Dog can do with a PS5, and they keep kind of hinging on, this is Naughty Dog's first PS5 game. It's like, well, it's kind of is and it's kind of not. And so what do you think of that? Because that's another placement thing. It's sort of landing as this big PS5 game when it's not really.
100%. You know, this is kind of what I mentioned about maybe it should have come out in 5 years' time, because if it comes out at the end of the PS5 cycle, like you said, Naughty Dog will have gotten to grips with that technology and it would have looked like so much more spectacular than it does. I still think it's like a really good showcase for the PS5, like you mentioned there, especially in terms of the lighting and the insane facial animations, which I definitely want to talk about more later on. But yeah, when like just playing through this game, you know, I was playing on its Performance Plus mode with HDR on, it does look like a showcase. I don't think it's the best PS5 game available, which is a shame. I think it would have been...
It's not Returnal.
It's not. I mean, visually, it's not like a Ratchet and Clank, though, right? It's not quite there. And
there's a reason people have been putting them side by side and saying, like, which one's which. And I'm one of those people. I mean, there are some scenes where it's literally night and day, or you can really tell there's been improvements. But I think to the untrained eye, or even to that initial, when they first showed that scene off the cutscene of Ellie looking out the window, I was one of those people going, I don't know which one's which.
I'm going to get back to that in a second. Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of say, like, it's a good showcase for the PS5. It's just, it's not the showcase. And I think it would be a better sell if it was, like, if it was hands down the best looking game on the PlayStation 5, if it was hands down the best playing game on the PlayStation 5, I think the price point would have been better. But we know it's kind of an entry into that technology, and we know it's not kind of the cumulative effort and experience of Naughty Dog with this system. I think like it would have been better if you had that level. It's funny that you mentioned there, you know, like the marketing materials that they've used to show this game off and compare it to The Last of Us Remastered or The Last of Us PS3. I don't think have done them any favors, because a few times they've showed like pre-rendered cutscenes from the PS3 and compared them with like the in-engine footage from the PS5 version. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, those are always going to look the closest, because what a pre-rendered cutscene could do in the PS3 was head and shoulders. I don't even know if that's the phrase. It was head and shoulders above what you could achieve in game on the PlayStation 3, right? So of course those are going to look similar, but you know,
I get that from a dev standpoint. They're like, hey, what used to be CG or what used to be pre-rendered, we can now do in game. Oh my God, isn't that incredible? But I think the average person just goes, well, it looks like it did 10 years ago and you want me to pay more money for it, which is a harder thing to sort of justify. We should talk about the story stuff, not necessarily spoilers, but how it sits, how it feels, because now obviously they're marketing it as a part one. And, you know, it sort of sits a bit different. Like you talk about there's a certain character in Last of Us Part Two who is in part one, but looked completely different, who is now matched up so that it feels more congruous in that regard. Did it feel, how does it feel going back through this now after so long, after knowing that they did do a part two? I remember all the conversations around like Last of Us Two, even before it existed, and all the conversations on like, does it even need a sequel? And now it's like, it's this much bigger franchise with the HBO shows coming out and the factions multiplayer is going to be coming out. What did that stuff feel like, I guess, as like, and now it is definitively a part one now.
It's cool, man. And it does kind of recontextualize it even more so than going back to play The Last of Us Remastered did in the wake of The Last of Us Part Two. Because like you said, there are some subtle changes, like that character model now matching the character model in Part Two, which does make the scenes that they're in kind of like more impactful, understanding how that, I'm going to skirt around spoilers so much.
I don't know whether people like, I'm just going off that assumption that there are some people out there who haven't played it.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know.
We'll skirt around them for now. But yeah, knowing and having the connection between that character in part one and part two certainly helped. Having the kind of parity of character models in both Ellie and Joel from part one to part two also helped. And for me, just kind of like the new character models in general are better than what we had before. I do love the stylized designs that we had in the PS3 version. But here, they're just so much more natural looking. There's so much more emotive in what they can do with their faces and kind of like how they carry themselves. And Ellie finally looks like a teenage human being and not like a teenage doll.
But you're not a fan of the original Ellie design.
I am. But I do think that her design is more dated in one of the more dated parts of that game, because it looks good. Like I said, it's visually striking, but it's kind of, it was more dead behind the eyes than I remember. And here, I think that the character models have so much life, especially when it comes to the supporting characters. Like Ellie and Joel look good, but we've seen Ellie and Joel in part two. Characters that we don't see in part two for whatever reason look just like incredible here, and that's where the real revolution comes in, I think, for me anyway, in terms of those characters.
Definitely, like especially, I mean, at the beginning, like the likes of Tess and Sarah, like they do have a lot of there's just way more facial animation, a lot more work that's gone into those performances, like literally. That's interesting. One of the biggest talking points that's going to come out of this is going to be direct comparisons as to whether people prefer the look of Last of Us One, and I think I do. I think I prefer the look of original Joel. I think they're still sort of chiming. We talked about this on a Slack chat once, but I think one of the greatest strengths of The Last of Us 1 was that assumption that it was a survival horror cover shooter, that it was another outright action game that you saw. You know, it's like a giant escort mission. And then one of the greatest rug pulls in The Last of Us, or at least one of the best developments as you played through it, was that there's so much more to it as you go. It's kind of like Spec Ops, but not as directly like rug pulley. But it was like, here's this big burly dude who looks like another action hero, and you're protecting someone who, like you said, they can go down the wrong route, and it looks a bit more doll-like for Ellie, which is obviously very go-to in terms of someone you want to try and take care of. And they play that hand, but then they play like a subversive hand that says there's actually way more going on here. And I always love that stuff. And I feel like Last of Us, the original, has more of like an art direction to it overall in that regard, which the new one, especially like coming from Last of Us Part 2, and then obviously the way that they've done Part 1, it's quote unquote, it's just realism. Like it's what everyone's aiming for now. It's what the Avengers is aiming for, or Forspoken or whatever. And there's not as much of a art direction overall. And I wonder how much that's Naughty Dog changing over the years, or how much of it was even that intentional in regards to how subversive Last of Us 1 felt. But for me, that was always why Last of Us landed so strongly, was because it was in amongst all this sea of other action games. And then it was able to do something else with the entire setup of it, both in the real world and in game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see these discussions, because The Last of Us, like the original Last of Us, looks great for the reasons that you've mentioned there. It has such a great sense of art design. It has such character in its art design. It's so stylized. And I was going back to The Last of Us Remastered just to experience it side by side, you know, playing the university level, for instance, like the colors and the saturation in that scene is so distinct. And The Last of Us Part 2 does go for a more naturalistic approach. However, that naturalistic approach, I still think, holds a lot of artistic weight, because it's hard to do that right without it looking generic. And I don't think that The Last of Us Part 2 looks generic for my money. I think there is still that attention to detail there. There's that intention behind how each scene is composed, how the colors kind of, you know, accentuate different moods and whatnot. It's kind of difficult to say one is better than the other. Going into part two, honestly, I thought this would be my major part of contention. I thought I would be pining for the older character models or the older lighting in certain scenes. And while I still love that older lighting, for me, part one's like visual character has superseded what came before, which is a big thing because I loved so much what came before.
Well, it is just interesting where it sits now, because like I said, it is like a defined part one, and it doesn't need to do the subversive stuff in regards to what, like, the company it was keeping back in 2013, the company it keeps now. It makes more sense to just show this is this big totemic release that has this insane look, this insane story. If you were just coming in fresh, you wouldn't even think about any of that stuff. You would just enjoy the story beats and the characters and everything else. And so that stuff is interesting. Did you notice anything else in terms of the way scenes are shot? Are there bits that are like composed differently? I know that they've changed some of the lighting around, and like, so like you said, some of the color palettes. Obviously there's an overall texture overhaul, but is there anything in regards to the scenes, specific scenes, that are done in a different way?
Not that I could tell from a glance and from what I can remember. I didn't go back and compare every scene, but the like the composition of every scene kind of seemed similar. Just like you said, with the change in lighting being the big thing, and the change in the character model on the faces and the performances being the big thing. It did make me appreciate the original cinematography more, though, because there were so many details there that were kind of, they were always there, but they were more in the background. Whereas here, like I said, with the added subtleties in the performances and with the more detail in the scene, you pick up on them a little bit more. And I was really appreciating this time around. Again, this isn't unique to part one, but I just appreciated it more this time around. How the camera in the scene is like evoking handheld style, and how long those takes are, and it just, it gets you in these scenes and immerses you so much. And that was something I appreciated so much more this time around, with the added immersion coming from the audio and, you know, like the new performances and whatnot.
Yeah, I feel like I remember noticing in Phantom Pain, I remember Hideo Kojima talked about it, in Phantom Pain, all that game's cutscenes are shot as if they were one take, and obviously God of War would become this whole thing where it's all in one take. But you kind of forget how, it's not necessarily The Last of Us pioneered that stuff, but like in gaming, like, it does add an extra element of like atmosphere or intensity or whatever. And like, yeah, when you go back to it, it's like, oh, this game was doing this in 2013, or at least in terms of the ideas they had going in. Like, that's something else that you can modernize in a really cool way.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon. Dude, just talking about like The Last of Us generally now, but I couldn't believe how well the story held up. Like, I love The Last of Us. I played through it like 6-7 times now. I played through it last in 2020. You know, this is something that I revisit all the time, and every time, and the story gets better. It's so much more mature than even games now. And I'm not just talking about in terms of violence. I'm talking about the way the script is literally structured and the character emotions that are coming through. And it's one of the best stories. Got some of the best characters, the way things are seeded, the way things are foreshadowed, the way like certain developments are juxtaposed and subverted with what you expect from this genre. It never gets old. This is why I'm like kind of recommending people who haven't played it to go out and get this version, because I do think it's the best version of this game, and its story still holds up, and now that its gameplay is up to par, it's just, it continues to be one of the best games of all time.
Yes. Do you think overall that's kind of what they're going for? I thought of this before when we were talking about how much it costs and everything, is that this isn't really made for us. Like, you can go into it after having played it a handful of times before, but what they're really making this for is the HBO Last of Us fan, because they've just dropped a teaser last week. It was part of the HBO Max montage thing. There's a lot of conversation around. I mean, there's a really great clip of Pedro Pascal playing Joel. And I just wonder how much they've made this as to get that much wider audience. Because if you're coming in fresh, it works best fresh. And they've made something for a fresher, wider audience with the fancy lighting techniques, with the really nice character models. And that's this play. Like, it's full price for that audience. And we're just sort of like an afterthought, because whether people go and like, well, you could have got The Last of Us, it's cheaper, and the remastered version is like £30 less. But like, they just want to go, it's £70, it's The Last of Us, it's the latest hotness, the TV show's out, go play that. Like, do you think that's part of their whole business thing?
Yeah, man, I really think so. Yeah, like, I will say, playing through this game got me so excited for the TV show, because the performances, like I said, are so lifelike, you know, so photoreal in a lot of scenes. And the script is already kind of structured like a TV show anyway, that in my head, I was adapting it as I was playing, which is weird. I've never done that before, but I was thinking about what I would do if I was adapting this TV show, which got me excited for the TV show, which is adapting this game. And it was kind of this cyclical thing that kind of, it's almost like it's promoting the brand as much as it is, you know, remaking a game.
Yes, no, that's like, I don't know if it's, I'm still kind of parsing this out, that Last of Us is a brand. Like, it has been for years, but it was that whole thing where coming out of the 2013 one, it was like, that is a perfect game, leave it alone. And they've done the complete opposite of that. And now it's almost 10 years later, and we're at this precipice where it's a £70 remake of that game. And like I said, the TV show's on the horizon, the multiplayer suite is on the horizon for Last of Us 2 and everything, or whatever the Last of Us factions turns into. And that's just such an interesting juxtaposition from what it felt like this franchise needed. And it's not that they haven't nailed those steps, but like, where we are now is interesting. I wonder if they do Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey skins for this.
They should.
I mean, it kind of feels like you might as well at this point, because you might as well get in on all the wider sort of conversations on it.
Speaking of skins, this was something that I was disappointed by. It's such a minor thing in the grand scheme of things, but this was kind of another thing that was telling me that this game wasn't necessarily for me, in that all of the bonus content, you know, like the cheats and the rendering modes and the skins, they're locked until you beat the game for the first time. And that was disappointing to me, because I've beat this game 6 times before, and I don't want to beat it again to then try out the new skins. I would have just jumped in with like the new skins and stuff. And I thought that was a bit of a shame. It's a minor gripe, but like The Last of Us Part 2, Joel's model from The Last of Us Part 2 is in here. You can play as that character model. And I wanted to play as that character model in this game. And now I'm going to have to play it yet again.
I guess they could have met you halfway and done like, we detected your save for Last of Us Remastered. Okay, you get this. Or Last of Us 2. I guess I understand why they've done that, so you don't just go through the game with like big head mode or whatever the hell all the other render stuff is that's in that game. But yeah, we should talk about just some wider stuff in regards to, like, I guess how the overall game feels in 2022, because I didn't ask you that before. But the thing that stuck out to me when I started going back through it was just how much, you mentioned box puzzles at the beginning, because that was the thing that I messaged you and I was like, oh my God, I forgot how many just slowly move this dumpster into this corner of this level so we can climb up. I don't mind the ones when you're trying to get Ellie across a body of water because she just can't swim, and that's a whole thing with like the arc of part one and part two. But the amount of times you just have to go and find something to stand on, and this repeats in Last of Us 2 as well, but not to as much of an extent in the first third, that stuff made me go, oh my God, this stuff is everywhere. And like over the years, especially on a PS5, where saying this is a PlayStation 5 game, you don't need to have those things in to mask loading. Like you can get around all those like crevices that you amble sideways through. You can get rid of all that stuff. And I get that the fallback is that it allows for a lot more conversation, but I still like noticed that stuff. I was still like, oh my God, I've got to drag another dumpster somewhere before I can get onto the level. Get on with the level.
I think this is where we're going to do a classic Scott Josh disagree, because I do agree that early on, like those puzzles are really egregious and they come far too often, far too frequent, and they kind of start getting grating. But I've always been of the impression that The Last of Us doesn't become a masterpiece until after you're out of Boston with Ellie. It is a shame, because Tess is one of my favorite characters and she is only around in the early part of the game. Mm-hmm. But the combat encounters in the early part, the puzzles in the early part, I just don't think the gameplay finds its footing until you get to Bill's town. And that was even more apparent this time around. However, after that, and once it settles down, I do think the puzzles are fine. You know, grabbing the ladder, getting Ellie across on the little raft and stuff, that still works for me. And it works because of like the momentum in the character while you're doing those things. Like it feels good, in my opinion, to be carting around this dumpster, to be carting around this little plank of wood or whatever. Mm. And they don't come too frequent once the game gets going, but they are definitely noticeable earlier on. And I will defend them just because it does allow for a kind of palette cleanser. And I do
it's on a palette. Yeah.
See what I did there? Didn't mean that, but I'm going to take it. I will definitely take it.
Hey, if Ellie ever starts a podcast, it's going to be called Palette Cleanser.
I think she might. Maybe that's The Last of Us Part 3. yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, it allows for these different modes of play. So you're not always sneaking. You're not always shooting. You've got these kind of exploration elements in there. And for me, that works in a post-apocalyptic survival game where just getting around a city is supposed to be hard. Like, I could get that the grading earlier on, but I do think, like I said, a lot of The Last of Us is grating earlier on, and it doesn't necessarily make a great first impression once you get past the excellent first impression of the opening, prologue.
We should talk about this. Well, maybe we'll do another spoiler. I mean, we've done spoiler cast on The Last of Us. Maybe we'll do another one revisiting it in 2022, because I mostly like the intro part. I just don't like the bit when you're leaving the city for the first time and you have to dodge all the dudes trying to shoot you and everything. Like, there's a lot of sort of insert set piece here moments across The Last of Us 1, whether it's the sniper section or that bit or whatever, but I do think the like the very very beginning, I think it makes an incredible fit, like the very very beginning bit that you do where you play as Sarah, I think that's like unbelievable. Like, that's my favorite sequences in like gaming history, but it is like a grab bag of like, it's coming out of the 2010s and it's other than the end of the 2000s, and it's like, we should have this bit in here, we should have a set piece here, we should have an action bit here and a dialogue bit here and a box puzzle here. And I think those things kind of conflict, but yeah, it does smooth out over time. It's just that whole question of, if someone goes in fresh, the ideal target audience, if they'll think this is from 2013 or this isn't from 2022.
I genuinely don't think you'd be able to tell. If you gave me The Last of Us Part 1 and I had no knowledge of when it released and I never played it before, I don't think I would even question it. There are maybe one or two sequences early on that feel a little bit outdated, like the first combat encounter with like the chest high walls that are surrounding the area.
That's one of the best subversive things they do, though. I love that stuff.
Well, you should explain this theory, Scott, because I always slagged that bit off for being obvious and poorly designed because of how obvious it is that a combat encounter is coming up. But you said something the other day that kind of changed my perspective on that. Well, and I like to think of it this way.
Yeah,
now.
It was just what I said before about the way that they sold you a version of the game that you thought you were getting into. All the trailers, all the early gameplay was very goal-focused. It was very action-focused. It was what I went into earlier in this podcast. But like, yeah, that's one of the first times that you see it as, this is a cover shooter. This is in the mold of Gears of War. Here's your waist-high walls. Go have a shootout. Go back and forward on this thing. And like I said, they undercut it and they get subversive with it as that whole game rolls out and as you meet Ellie and as the emotional beats start rolling in. I think that one of the best hands they play is trying to sell you on a zombie shooter, and as thinking that you're going into that back in 2013, and then there's so much more substance there, especially because in Naughty Dog's career or whatever, they were coming off Uncharted 3. So it was like, well, we are known for the big Hollywood action. We're known for sort of doing these things. You know, we're going to sort of play that hand, and then we're going to completely invert it. And by the time you get to the end, you can kind of play that final shootout waist-high walls if you want, but it's way more, it's morphed way more into the way Last of Us plays overall. And I've always loved that. It kind of goes hand in hand with the art direction thing. But yeah, that bit at the beginning where it's like, give me my waist-high walls, let me get that comfort zone, let me get that comfort going so you can pull the rug out from you afterwards and go from there.
I like that. I like that a lot. Gosh. It really makes me, it doesn't make me love the intro, but it makes me like it a hell of a lot more. I'll tell you that. You know, I think the introduction, like, and I'm talking everything post the prologue scene, is necessary for establishing the characters, for establishing the world. I just think from a gameplay perspective, that's the least engaging The Last of Us ever is, which is kind of fortunate because it's at the beginning and it means it only gets better, but also unfortunate because I don't want it to put people off. And I have had friends who have played it and kind of just getting bored in that opening hour and just kind of thought this gameplay might not be for me. But like you said, it gets so much better and it does subvert what you initially think it is, that it kind of, I just want people to stick with it if you've never played it, because it becomes the masterpiece that you've heard it is for 9 years now. It just might take a little bit of time. And I'm interested to see if anyone messages me disagreeing with that, maybe like loving it from the start, because that's also very valid as well.
That whole wing of gamers or players, whatever, who are going to come to this first in 2022 and this is their first experience of it, what do they think of all those various segments that make up Last of Us Part One? Because Last of Us Part Two doesn't really have any of those bits in. Like, there are occasionally bits where you're sort of like trapped in a vehicle, you got to shoot some dudes, but that's very, very few and far between. And for the most part, Last of Us Part Two is one style of gameplay the whole way through, and the emphasis is more on characters and dialogue and everything. Some wider stuff though, let's talk about like where Sony are at, because we talked about like whether this is worth like full price or whatever, the differentiation between the value of the game and the value of the remaster. Do you think they'll do this again? Do you think that they will do a remaster, put a patch out, do whatever? I think because we've still got the fact that the PS5 can do 8K graphics. I was just thinking that. I was like, do they do this again? Is this their most valuable individual IP? Especially if they're banking on it with the HBO stuff taken off. Maybe this is something that they just mine yet again in another 5 years.
I think maybe. I think we might see a remastered version or a patch of this game.
Probably.
However, I do think The Last of Us 2 is probably more likely for that, because that did get a patch, but we still don't have like a real PS5 version of that game yet. So I do think that'll be the next in line. I don't know if they'll get away with, you know, selling it for $70 if they do, and I don't think they should sell it for $70. I think that's just something they dug their heels in with 2 years ago and are now obliged to do it because they might get away with it. But I do think they'll do it again. However, I don't think we will see another instance like this where it's so soon and the cost is so high and you're even getting less content because you don't have the multiplayer suite in.
That's a whole other thing as well, is it's not like this is being followed up by the multiplayer stuff straight away. Like, we still don't really have any details. We've got a little bit of details on that there'll be like kind of single player integration, there'll be story based bits from whenever that was. Game Awards, was that?
Were they talking about that? It was Summer Game Fest,
yeah. And that was earlier this year. So there's been little bits talked about, like I said, but it is like the franchising of The Last of Us. It's this wider sort of play for a much bigger audience, and then stretching it all out that way, and whether or not you can get people in and get them excited about a Last of Us multiplayer. And like, it's, but like I said, it's not like multiplayer is coming straight after this. It's not like a 1-2 thing. It'll be this, then it'll be the HBO show, and then it'll be the multiplayer, assumedly. And then I guess we just see what the future of The Last of Us is from here. But the thing is that the rule of remakes and remasters in the industry is usually to test the waters for more installments in that franchise. So it's not like Last of Us isn't talked about or discussed almost on the monthly anyway. So I wonder how much this is also them just making sure everyone's thinking about The Last of Us for a part three or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure it was a nice, happy accident almost that you could time this with a TV show. However, I do think it's important to talk about this project in particular, kind of as an anomaly, because it was an anomaly. Like, if you go back to the original report about this game that I think was on Bloomberg by Jason Schreier, you know, like the report went that allegedly this was a pitch by a smaller studio to kind of prove their worth. They essentially went to Sony and said, look, we want to prove that we can handle ourselves. We want to remake one of your games. Let us remake Uncharted 1. And Sony said, no, that'll be too much work. Why don't you...
Worst one, lads.
Why don't you remake The Last of Us instead? Because it'll be less work. And they started it, and then the project didn't go well, and allegedly it was handed back to Naughty Dog to finish. I think that those are kind of extenuating circumstances around this project alone, and I do think that any future remakes will be kind of more like Demon's Souls, which in my opinion was worth full price, because that was bringing back, you know, a PlayStation 3 game that isn't readily available right now, and overhauling it in a way that the Last of Us kind of isn't.
I wonder if, because it's an anomaly for now, or is it the first example of how to do this
maybe
going forward? It depends how it sells. I don't see, like I said, I'm going to hang the whole thing on the reception of this. I feel like the reception's been quite mixed. I feel like looking at the comments on the latest gameplay video, that's been a lot more positive, with people just saying, okay, I can see the difference in how the characters move. I can see the difference in the impact of the weapons and everything. But yeah, I guess it'll depend on how this sells, whether they start diving into their archives and bringing all sorts of things back.
Listen, man, for me, it's all in the price point. This would have been, like I said at the start, you know, this would be a instantly recommendable project if it was $30 less. I think $40 or whatever, I'd be like, yep, this is a great version of the game. So much effort has been put in. Go out and buy it. It is just like you say, you're looking at the $70 price point. You're looking at no factions mode being included. You're looking at it last having a patch, the remastered version last having a patch like 5 years ago, and that's still looking incredible. It's for those reasons where the waters get a little bit murky, and rightfully so, people are on the fence. You know, it's like, I kind of resent that in a way, because then all we talk about is the price, but the price is such a major factor, especially in a cost of living crisis. Like, I can't tell a Last of Us fan who has experienced The Last of Us multiple times, I can't say that they need to go out and spend $70 on this game in this climate, because that's probably not true,
that's the thing.
I mean, you really want to, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, for me, just getting just super brass tacks about it, it's not like those opening, it's not like the levels, the environment, the atmosphere isn't next gen feeling. Like, there's lots of bits where all of a sudden, like, you'll come around a corner, a certain visual will hit you, and it's like, okay, that's what it should feel like to have a PlayStation 5 game. But ultimately, yeah, like, it's a £70 upscale. Like, it's not, it isn't, as much as they're saying it's built for, it's rebuilt from the ground up and whatever, only me talking here doesn't see that. It's like, right, for me, that phrase implies that you literally started coding from nothing and you went from there, which maybe they did, but like, I don't think so. It still feels like you took the guts of a 2013 game and then upscaled various things and added more facial animation and everything. Not to say that what the final product isn't worthwhile. It's just that I think that phrasing is maybe going to bite them, considering it was the way that the GTA Definitive Edition was coming around, where people obviously expected a lot more, including me. And I think that stuff can backfire. And I get the marketing spin, but that spin can be a haymaker, can be a roundhouse kick.
100%, man. I think it's exactly that. It's a victim of business. It's a victim of marketing, not a victim of game design. The game is good. It's the context in which it's being sold and the context in which it's releasing that is the problem. And that sucks, because like I keep saying, the quality is there, but the quality isn't really the thing that's dominating the headlines. It's its full price value, which won't even be relevant in like 6 months' time when this is discounted and people are buying it anyway. But it's like, this is almost the hole that Sony has dug for themselves. And man, they need to get away from this pricing model, because it's going to bite them even more than
so much more negative press around it than positive. I mean, like, the underlying thing that we're screaming, or at least you're screaming, is like, go check this version of the game out. It's a perfect version of the game to play. It should be your first game version of it if you're new to the IP. But that's also just has to go hand in hand with the way that it's being priced. But ultimately, the thing that will win out is that this is an incredible version of The Last of Us, and it'll get there. It's just going to take however long it takes, but that time frame might get shortened if the sales are a bit soft, or if you know, if they want to just go, hey, by the way, Merry Christmas, it's on PlayStation Premium or whatever in another couple of months.
No, you're right, man. Like that, I think its legacy is going to be it's a good remake, but it's in the short term, like, we're going to be having these conversations about the value. And I just think Sony needs to get away from this, because even when we're talking about new releases like Horizon Forbidden West or Gran Turismo 7, like, even for those games, which are brand new, huge sequels, we're still asking the question, is this worth $70? And that question becomes more easily answered when we're talking about a remake of a game that is only 9 years old. You know, if we're asking these questions about brand new titles, then they're going to be even more dominating the discourse around remakes. And for that reason, I just don't think it's a good look to keep selling these games at that high price point, man.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think that, like, my final word on it is just, like, you know, they say, hey, this is like £70. It's a premium price point. It's the most we can possibly charge you right now. There's almost a built-in de facto assumption that it's a five-star game then. Obviously, The Last of Us is at the core, but is The Last of Us a remake in 2022? It's not going to replicate what it was like experiencing it in 2013 unless you're coming into it fresh, and then you're just paying £70 for the game that's 9 years old anyway. So there's all these, like, conflicting factors as to the way that it feels to buy this game. And, like, I think that's just a weird thing to navigate in itself, which it shouldn't be.
Totally. And I'm conflicted in myself trying to recommend it, Scott Tilford, because, you know, if someone came up to me hypothetically and said, look, Josh, I can buy two full price games a year, and, you know, I've not played The Last of Us at all. Should The Last of Us Part 1 be one of them? I would probably say no, because you can get the base experience.
I was just saying they're still selling it.
And you can, with The Last of Us Remastered, like, you're still going to have a cracking time with that. And then you will have more money to buy other games that come out later on. And that's kind of like where we just get so granular about it. It's like, what is this game worth? Like, in what context should you buy it? And quite frankly, Scott Tilford, I think that's a boring conversation to have. And I don't like having those conversations, because it changes depending on the person.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think that it's going to be something that every outlet is going to come at. And I think it's just like, like you said, it's the way that Sony have done all their pricing stuff that's led to these conversations happening. And I mean, the thing is, it's because it's a remake that we have to fall back on all these comparisons to how things landed 9 years ago. But if we do an upcoming, if we do a spoiler cast, if we manage to get through it or whatever in the coming weeks, then we'll only focus on the game. We will not talk about the pricing stuff anymore, because you can go check out Josh's review for more in-depth thoughts on all that stuff. For now, this has been the Wind Up / the What Culture Gaming Podcast, whatever you want to call it. We've managed to do it. Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com, joined by Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure, Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I know I did my full thing. It's like a list sign off, but always a pleasure to be heard by all of you. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.